Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc.
With so little to be sure of, if there's anything at all, if there's anything at all, I'm sure of here and now, and us together, all I'll ever be, I'll owe you. If there's anything to be, being sure enough of you makes me sure enough of me. Thanks for everything we did, everything that's past, everything that's over too fast. None of it was wasted. All of it will last.
The Mehewi 2014 Gala will honor Jane Iredale and feature a performance by Broadway legend Bernadette Peters on October 12th at 8 p.m. Star of stage and screen, Peters is likely best known for her film roles in The Jerk and Pennies from Heaven, and from the stage for her Tony-nominated performances in Sunday in the Park with George, Gypsy, and Follies, and her Tony Award-winning turns in Annie Get Your Gun and Song and Dance. She received the 2012 Isabel Stevenson Award for her work with her charity Broadway Barks, which she co-founded in 1999 with Mary Tyler Moore. It's a great pleasure to welcome Bernadette Peters back to the Roundtable.
Oh, it's lovely to be back.
What will you be performing at the Mehewi, if you know? And do you have like an accompanist or a full band? What's going to go on for this concert?
We have 12 pieces, and so it'll sound very lovely. I have my pianist conductor that's been with me for 30 years or so, and basically it should be I'm there to entertain, you know, but in different ways, in being, I have some lovely Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I have some Sondheim, and I sing Peggy Lee's Fever whilst lying on the piano. So it should be a nice night.
Well, I'm sure it'll be spectacular. Do you enjoy very much putting concerts together? Do you like choosing what you will sing?
I do. I like being in charge of what I want to sing, because it's also, and then I'll say, geez, you know, I want to add this song because I think this song would be lovely in this place and would add something. It's a good song, or it's a feeling that people should hear. I like being in charge of what I'm going to sing.
On the night of a concert performance, is the preparation different than if you were doing a play? Is it a whole different headspace than if you were playing a character, or is it fairly similar?
Yeah, I think especially if it's a new play, a new part, a new something, you're always working your way through a character or a moment, or figuring out how to get from one moment to the next moment, or what you're doing off stage before you come on for that moment. This one, I'm on stage the whole time. I don't go off stage. And there's no fourth wall when I'm doing a concert. We're there together in this lovely room to have an experience. If I'm as pure as can be, then, or if I love to surprise myself, and if I can get surprised, then the audience gets surprised, so that's what I look for.
Could you expand on that? What would happen that would surprise you?
Well, if I go to a song and I sort of basically know if it's an emotional song, I sort of know what country I go to, but I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. Mm-hmm. That's how I like to describe it, so, or explain it. And I learn something. I'll think about this tonight with that song, and then I start learning something. And as it reveals itself to me, the audience, it reveals itself to the audience, too, so it becomes interesting for both of us.
How in tune are you with the energy coming from the audience, and what could they do to add to your experience or subtract from it if that were unfortunately the case?
Well, I try not to pull on their... I mean, sometimes if they're just so loving and so giving, it just makes you open up, you know, want to give even more and open up more. And on the other hand, sometimes if they're hesitant in any way for some reason or they're... Then you have to open up even more and try to let them open up. If they've had a bad day or if they're in a bad, I don't know, they paid too much money for their tickets. They're not in a good mood, I'm telling you. Then you have to work even harder again, you know, to bring them along. So, or let them trust you or just open up to them and just... I just try to be as honest as I can throughout the whole show and honest as I can with the what I'm singing about, what I'm saying about each song, each lyric. And then usually, hopefully, it engages them if I'm engaged.
Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will see. Children will look to you for which way to turn, to learn what to be. Careful before you say, listen to me.
You are doing an Into the Woods reunion, kind of live documentary production of Stephen Sondheim's, of course, Into the Woods in California in November with some of the other original cast members and with Mr. Sondheim and James Lapine. What is that going to be like? Are you excited about it?
Yes, very much so. I think it's going to be a wonderful evening. It's a one night and the whole reunion of the whole original cast, except for our Tom Aldrich, who has passed away, but we have his voice, you know, saying Once Upon a Time, which will be wonderful. And we're going to talk about the show and the roles and how we came to do them and how we feel about the roles in the show. And we're all going to be together again, so that will be wonderful.
There is, of course, a film adaptation coming out pretty soon. Rob Marshall directed it. It stars Meryl Streep and a number of other talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Will you see the film, do you think?
Will I see it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. I can't wait to see
it. Because it was my next question was, is it... When you've played a role and when you're so associated with a role as you are with that role in Into the Woods, is it odd to see someone else tackle it?
Well, I did see someone do it. It's a company called The Ridiculous Company. No, is that what it's called? The Ridiculous? No, something like that. It's an acting company that don't usually do musicals, and they did it. And it was so good that, and it was in Princeton, and I went to see it. Steve sent me to go see it because he loved it so much, and I loved it. And what they just had props on the stage, and they just used the props that were in front of them, and they made things out of, you know, Rapunzel's tower was a ladder, and a shadow was the. I mean, it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was so good that they brought it to the West Coast, and it's going to come into New York. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to seeing Meryl Streep play the witch because... She's a great actress, so I'm interested to see what she would do with it. I'm kind of honored that such a great actress is playing the role.
So it doesn't keep any kind of possessive hooks in you after you've done it.
No, actually, I did see it. Also, I did see they did it in the park.
Yes,
and it was interesting in the park too, and it was great in the park because it was in the woods.
Right.
So that made it. The setting was fantastic. It's such a great show. I love listening to the music, and I love hearing it.
So you're able to separate and just be in the audience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always saying, oh, well, that could be like that, and that could be like that, and that could be, you know, I'm just like that. But I'm a great audience member.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy being an audience member, too.
You were in the late 90s, a TV version of Cinderella that starred Brandy, the singer Brandy, and Whitney Houston was also in that. And last year, we saw NBC's live musical presentation of The Sound of Music. This December, NBC will do Peter Pan live. Do you think that transferring stage musicals to television is a benefit to the art form? Do you think that's a good direction for things to go in? Not that they leave the stage ever, but that the having them on TV is good too.
I think it's great because when I was a little girl, the Ed Sullivan Show used to be on the air, and I had thought I had seen certain shows, but I hadn't. I saw the numbers, few of the numbers on Ed Sullivan. I saw Ethel Merman, and I saw Carol Channing, and I saw them all. But I remember seeing Peter Pan on television, and the first time apparently it was live. And, I mean, I was a very little girl. I went to bed crying that night because I couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I think it's great. It'll affect a lot of children, a lot of people. A lot of children will fall in love with live theater and want to come see live theater. It's very good for the art form, I think. If it's done well.
Yeah, if it's done well, exactly. In your bio, it says you made your Broadway debut in 1967 in a show called Johnny No Trump, but then on IBDB, the Internet Broadway Database, had two shows before that, The Most Happy Fella and The Girl in the Freudian Slip. Which show do you consider your Broadway debut?
Well, my Broadway debut, I was in a Broadway show that closed out of town, so I joined Equity when I was 9.
Right.
And that was directed by Otto Preminger. The Girl in the Freudian Slip, I was an understudy, and I never went on, and it ran one night, so
okay.
I kind of crossed that one off.
Sure. That makes perfect sense.
And then The Most Happy Fellow was City Center. I was 11, so I never really counted that as Broadway.
Okay.
I guess I could. I don't know. And then, so what's the next one?
Johnny No Trump.
That, definitely.
Okay. So I know, you, as you just mentioned, you performed a lot before that Broadway debut, but do you remember what it was like to work on your first Broadway show, if that had a special feeling?
I mean, you're so young. You're just so, so, so young. But you realize that you're on a Broadway stage, and it's important. And it was you find your way around the stage. The audience is so close in a play. There's no orchestra pit. And I was used to being on the road with an orchestra pit with these big, you know, all of a sudden going, my God, the audience is like right there. Don't look. And I was with Kim Daly Kim Hunter and James Daly, and they were divine, and Seda Thompson. Oh, wait, wrong show. Just a minute. Okay. When I was in Johnny No Trump, that was Seda Thompson. When I was 9, it was Kim Daly and Kim Hunter and James Daly. So anyway, it was Seda Thompson, who was an amazing, amazing actress, and I used to love just watching her rehearse. So I knew something special was happening, and it was just an interesting, wonderful experience.
And what do you think it is about that experience, about that specialness, that keeps it interesting and worth building a life and a career on?
Because it was, again, I surprised myself. Like, I remember when I had this, like, beehive hairdo, and one night it like fell apart and the audience went hysterical, and they said, we have to leave that in. So then again, you're finding these things and you're finding these moments, and you go, my God, that worked. And you're so excited to find these things. And the way to make it fresh each night, and the way to make, you know, that happen each night. So it's exciting, it's scary, it's exciting, just like Little Red Riding Hood, you know? As she says in the song, it's exciting and scary, and I know things now that I never knew before. You know, things, it's all exciting and a learning process, and learning your creativity and what you can do with it.
You mentioned early co-stars that made an impression on you. How important is it still to you to work with people that you enjoy working with and respect?
Really important. I'm doing a show on Amazon right now with the guy is Gael García Bernal.
Mm-hmm. Mozart in the Jungle.
Yes, Mozart in the Jungle. He's just so wonderful. I just love working with him, and I love having scenes with him. I love his reality and his sense of humor and his wacky reality sometimes and his real reality sometimes. And I love working with him. So it's very important to have great people.
Is working on it's not a web series in that it's just on a website, but an Amazon Prime original series, which is akin to a Netflix series or a Hulu original series. Is that different than doing normal television, or is the
except it streams, but it's filmed the same way, and
right.
it's filmed, you know, I'm working with Malcolm McDowell, who's also fantastic. He's in it too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the good part about it is they do all of them, and then they wait to see if they're happy with them, and maybe they'll reshoot one or something, and then they put them out. It's not like they're on a deadline.
Yeah, they have more freedom without a network.
They have more freedom with that, and they're writing them as they go, which they do that anyway on a series. But.
Right. That's great. Mozart in the Jungle will be on Amazon Prime when it is
probably
there.
The end of the year.
Great.
Or beginning of January, yeah.
Bernadette Peters, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for taking the time, and have a wonderful performance at the Mahewi.
Thank you. I will. Thank you. Great to talk to you again, Sarah.
Bernadette Peters will perform at the Mahewi 2014 Gala on October 12th at 8 p.m. For more information, visit mahewi.org. The songs in this segment can be found on the album Sondheim, Etc., Etc., Bernadette Peters Live at Carnegie Hall, The Rest of It. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
It is marvelous to know you, and it's never really. In this world.